You know, over the years, I have taught different groups on intercession, and I'm a believer in the spirit of intercession. And the reason is there are times when you can't pray for yourself, and there are times that groups come together and they pray for their church, and they pray for the families that are involved in their church, and they pray for the city, and they pray for the nation. And I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ needs more intercession to get through these dark days that we're walking in. You know, Jesus was a great intercessor, and we see him praying over in John 17. Don't turn there, because I'm just going to talk about it. He prayed for the people that he had ministered to all of those years, and he prayed for them because he knew that he was going to be leaving them soon, so he interceded for them. But then he looked on into the distance and he prayed for the church from the beginning all the way up until the end. And he prayed, for instance, that God would not take us out of the world, but that he would keep us safe from the world. You see, he was building a church that would sit smack kadav in the middle of all that was going on in the world. He prayed that his church would be the magnet, if you would put it that way, a magnet where people could hear about the great gospel of the Lord Jesus, and that they would be drawn by the Spirit of the living God to that place where the truth would be preached. Now, he said, God the Father, he said, I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the world. Because when you're in the middle of darkness, you have to have protection. And in addition to having that protection, you have to have the anointing to survive. And you have to be able to see that God would be able to use you even though the world is corrupt, that you are the light. Because Jesus, you see, he said, I am the light of the world. And so we're lights also in the world. And whenever light comes on the scene where darkness is, the Bible describes that light as being dispersed. Have you ever turned a light on in a dark room? That is a perfect picture of what I'm trying to describe to you. You turn the light on and the whole room instantly becomes bright. That's the way we are supposed to be. As individuals, we're lights on our job. We're lights to our family. We're lights to our friends. And you know, sometimes it seems that it's all in vain. Sometimes it seems nobody's interested in you, in your family. Nobody's interested in you, in your friendships. Sometimes you even lose friends whenever you become a real Christian. But you know, over the years, I've seen people that I've lost come back because they remember the light. And the darkness is so prevalent, and it's getting so prevalent in America today. You know, many years ago, I ministered down in Trinidad. And when you come into Trinidad, they tell you, don't carry your Bible in your hand because they'll put you on the next plane and send you back. Leaders of the church down there say, don't say that you're coming to evangelize or to minister in Trinidad, because they'll put you on the next plane and send you back. Just say you're coming as a tourist. So that's what I did. And then when the elders of the church meet with you, they tell you that they even send spies into the churches to make sure that you're not there to evangelize. And so they say, don't bring your Bible up to the pulpit, or they will arrest you and send you back. And so we obeyed the elders of the church and left our Bibles in our pocketbooks. And they said, you can give testimonies and you can preach, but you just can't have the Bible. I said, okay. So I was up there preaching one night in a church, and down in the islands, many of your churches do not have air conditions. And so as you preach, the windows are open and the front door was wide open. And as I was preaching, I looked and I saw this man. And he was hanging out in front of the church. But it seemed as though he was listening to the message. So I called one of the Christian men that had traveled down there with us. And I whispered, I want you to go out and minister salvation to that man. Because this particular man, that's what he liked to do. He loved to lead people to the Lord. So he went out, and I continued to preach. And after I got through preaching, I gave an altar call. And the first person in line was that man. And he looked up and he said, oh, the darkness, the darkness, the darkness. He said, I want to come out of the darkness. And so I just went ahead and led him to the Lord, and led him into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And after doing all of that, he said, I have a testimony. And he said, you know, he said, I belong to the Presbyterian Church here. I haven't gone in years. He said, but about 3 days ago, he said, I started feeling this burden for my soul. And he said, the Lord was really dealing with me. And he said, I felt so crushed down tonight. I felt that if I didn't get some sort of relief, I was going to die. So he said, I got up and went to the Presbyterian Church. He said, well, nothing happened over there. I still had the burden. I still felt pressed down. He said, so I came back home. He said, I was going to just go to sleep, and I was hopeful for some relief. He said, but as I walked past this church, he said, I saw that woman up there at the pulpit. And he said, I felt maybe I should just listen. And he said, when I was listening, the man came out and he told me how to become born again. And he said, and I did what he told me to do. He said, a little bit lifted, but I still felt that I needed more. So he said, I came into the church, and when the lady got finished preaching, he said, she asked for if anybody needed the Lord. And I came forward, And when I came forward, he said, she led me to Jesus and led me to receive the Holy Spirit. And he said, I felt that all the darkness had left. All of the darkness. He said, but standing on outside of the church, he said, no, it was when he came forward, he said this. I said, do you need anything from the Lord? He said, oh, the darkness, the darkness. He said, I need to come out of the darkness. And so that's a perfect picture of what our country's gone into, is the darkness that the man in Trinidad wanted to come out of. He said to the pastor, he said, I live right next door to this church. He said, oh, I used to hear you people in here singing to Jesus and clapping and yelling and shouting. And he said, I would curse you every time. Every time the church door opened, I would curse you. He said, because I hated the sound of what was going on in this church. He said, but I can tell you this. He said, now. He said, I've changed. He said, I am going to come to this church. And he said, I'm a builder. He said, I'm going to build you a new church. He says, you won't have to meet in this little old place anymore. And so everybody just started shouting and they went crazy. But the truth is that our country is like that. But the difference is this. Down in that country, you see, you couldn't carry the gospel freely like we can here. You had the opportunity to bring your Bible up to the pulpit. If we invite an evangelist to our nation, why, they can carry their Bible on the plane and nobody cares, because we have freedom of religion here. But you see, the difference is this. People in our nation have chosen to serve the devil and sin and the flesh, and millions have fallen away from the Lord. Many of us know people that have fallen away from the Lord. Many of us know people in our own family that used to serve the Lord that have fallen away from Jesus. And you see, we just sort of look at it all helplessly. And we say, but what can we do about that? You can pray. You see, if the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America was coming together and they were giving themselves in prayer on a daily basis, the church would suddenly burst forth again with revival. You see, revival comes on the wings of prayer. When I was in New York City, I was staying at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel there, and someone saw the Bible in my hand, one of the workers in the hotel. And they said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, I am. And they said, do you know that there's a prayer meeting going across the street every Thursday night? And I said, no, but now that you've told me, that's where I'll be tonight. And so I went to the church. It was a big, rich Presbyterian church. And the church was locked down, no lights on. And I started to return to the hotel, and the Lord stopped me. He said, no, let me lead you. So he led me around the corner into a building. And when I went into the building, it was an ordinary looking building. It wasn't churchy or anything. There was a elevator there. And he told me to get in the elevator, go to the third floor. So I went up to the third floor, got off the elevator. He said, go down the hall, take a right, then take a left. And then I heard some people. I went in to that room, and there was a big conference table in there. And there was just a handful of people there, and they were interceding and praying. And there was a very distinguished looking man. So he looked around the room and he said, do you have a testimony? You know how we do sometimes, do you have a testimony? And when he got to me, I said, oh yes, I've got a testimony. I've always got a testimony for Jesus. Amen. And so I told the testimony of how Jesus took me over to Israel in 1973, and how in a Catherine Kuhlman meeting, he came to me and he anointed my eyes and my ears and my hands. And then it was like he poured a bucket of oil upon me. And he said to me, he said, I'm calling you into the ministry. He says, I'm healing everything in your body. And what you don't know is back then, before I received this anointing, I used to be a hypochondriac, and I was going to every doctor in town. After the anointing, I didn't go to the doctor for 27 years. So, anyway, I was telling them that testimony. And after I received that anointing, I went out into the lobby, and the bus driver and our guide came over to us, not God, but guide. And the guide was all excited about Jesus. And But the guide spoke perfect English. And he said, this is Peter. He says, Peter says to me, he said, I know all of those people that are going up on that platform that Catherine Kuhlman is healing. He said, I know them all personally. He said, only a living God could do this. He said, Peter wants to find Jesus to serve him. And so I said, I'll take Peter down to the little room where they are receiving new believers, Messianic Jews. So as we were walking down to the room, I felt suddenly that I needed to pray for Peter. So I started to pray for him. But what was going on is Peter answered me in his language, and I answered him in his language. And we were talking together. I had no clue of what I was saying to him. But I knew that we were talking together, that God himself was talking through Pat Holliday like he did that jackass over in the Old Testament. And you know, what happened was, all of a sudden I just felt to put my hand on Peter's forehead, and I felt this anointing rush out of my hand into Peter. And you know, when somebody received Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you just know they did by the expressions on their face. Their face becomes brilliant, and they look like they drop about 15 years off of their life. And he just raised his hands, and I knew that he was praising God. And that was the testimony that I gave in that little room in New York City. Now, this man that was so distinguished looking, His name was Walter Hoving. After I met him, I began to see his writings in Guidepost magazine. You all remember that, a magazine back then. And but the interesting thing about that prayer meeting, it was a prayer meeting that had been established 100 years previously, and it's given credit all over the world for bringing forth a mighty revival of that day, because people began to come to that prayer meeting and earnestly seek God for revival. And I believe if the church would return to the zeal of seeking God for revival instead of seeking God for money and seeking God for everything else but, I believe that we would see a great mighty outflow of revival in Jacksonville, Florida, and in this nation. You see, God listens to the intercession of men and women. And if you have your Bibles, I'll show it to you. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for that all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So this particular part of the Bible shows us that the salvation of all men, and that of course means women too, are uniquely tied to the intercession of God's people. It's tied to you because of the fact that as you begin to lift up all men to be saved, that's what that word says, as you begin to lift them up to be saved, what happens is you're pushing back the powers of darkness. You're pushing back the powers that are overcoming your sons, your daughters, your grandsons, your great-grandsons, your aunts, your uncles, your mothers, your fathers, all people. You are standing in the gap. And you see, one person and God makes a majority against all of the powers of darkness, against all of the powers that the devil has. You as one individual connected to Jesus Christ on his throne, interceding for changes makes the difference. And so if only the church could understand these things, if only its people could understand the value of intercession and prayer and how uniquely it places you in the presence of God Almighty before his throne, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that Jesus sits on his throne giving his power to us ward who believe. And then in the second chapter of Ephesians, it says, for we are sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That puts you already in that divine position of sitting with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. It's not that we have to wait to die to get there. Hallelujah. We are there. Amen. Now, once you understand this, what is the most precious thing in the world is the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, there were some people downstate that were having a little revival. And when people would get under the power of God, they would stand over them and they would scream, "More God, more God." Well, you can't get any more than sitting at the throne of the Father with the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ himself. You just can't get any more than that. Is that right? I mean, that's where heaven is. So if the church would understand that, they would show up to the intercessory groups in their churches, which in this hour time, intercessory groups are small. Now, if you feed them a barbecue or give them something else, everybody packs the church out. Isn't that right? But if they understood the spiritual food and fruit that you will receive, sitting at the feet of Jesus and the Father, intercessor, as an intercessor for the things that you know that this church needs and that this world needs. You see, there was one man that took a group of people over to Russia, and I can't recall his name right now, but this man, they went into Lenin's tomb, and they took authority over the god of communism and the god of Lenin's spirit over that nation. And guess what? Communism fell within several weeks. You see, what we do counts, and what we do works. It's just that you have to believe that in your heart. Amen? In Ephesians 6:18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I'm telling you, God is saying that we've got to return to our knees. We've got to return to our faces on the floor. We've got to come to him in desperate prayer and say, "God, you've got the answers to all of these problems, and we are seeking you for those answers, and we are expecting to see with our eyes, hear with our ears, answers to these prayers that we're praying." You know, I've enjoyed coming to you every Sunday on the radio, and of course, we're on the internet, and we're busily getting our shows connected into our webpage, www.patholiday.com. And we're inviting you to go up on the web page and see. We're constructing it, reconstructing it, and we need you to come and look at it. But most of all, we would like to invite you to come over to our intercession group on Tuesday night. We get pretty right serious about it, and we believe you will too. You see, we've seen God heal AIDS and cancer and blind eyes open over the years in our church. We've seen it out on the mission field. It's time for the church to awaken to the reality that Jesus Christ is alive and he wants a relationship with you. He wants to visit with you, but you need to open up for that visitation. You know, God loves you, and we love you too. I want to just quickly mention one last thing. Pat Holiday is going to be coming on Channel 29 on cable at 10:30 on Sunday nights. Our first guest is going to be Sid Roth, and we want to invite you Sunday night, if you don't like football, to turn in and watch us. But if you miss us Sunday night, we'll be there next Sunday night at 10:30. Come and be our guest and enjoy. You know, God loves you. Again, I say it, and we do too.